is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try to feel the way we do today. And then if you can,
keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me.
For sure, that's what friends are for.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore.
That's what friends are for. Good evening, Bahamas. I hope that everyone is having a wonderful Tuesday. The sun is shining and the weather is good. We had some rain last week and that did my grass wonders. Ladies and gents, it's an awesome opportunity to be here with you this evening on Kenny's Corner, Guardian Radio 96.9. And this evening, we are going to be speaking with two professionals, right? And they are in the business of ensuring that lives are taken to the Princess Margaret Hospital or Doctor's Hospital or whatever medical facility there is. So we're talking about behind the sirens, the real lives of EMS heroes, because often we see what the doctors do, right? But if you're in an emergency situation, you have to deal with the EMS before you get to the hospital, before you get in ER, before you get in any other facility, you have to get in the ambulance. Now, I had a first-hand experience with the ambulance, right? And I had that experience in 2023. I had that because my mom had a prolonged seizure, right? My brother called me, say, hey, what you doing? I say, hey, what I doing? He said, you already been my mommy? I said, I just left from church. So he say, come back home. So I say, okay. When I get there, mommy having a whole seizure, right? My daughter says, mommy, you got to put something in Nana's mouth. I say, no. She said, yes. I said, hey, you know. She said, that's what they tell us to the school. So the EMS people on the phone, he said, mom, listen to the child. I said, oh, okay. So the EMS people come and they were so good with my mom. Thank you, lady and gent that was there. I mean, my brother was freaking out a bit, but I appreciate you. Thank you so much. You know, we were able to get mommy to the hospital and mommy lasted a whole year. She lasted a year to the date that she had the prolonged seizure. But I want to talk to some heroes. I want to talk to Mr. Adrian Archer. And I want to talk to Ms. Roll. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. How are you doing? Good afternoon, Bahamas. I'm great.
When I put this flyer out, I got so many inbox messages. Oh, Adrian looks slim on this picture. Oh, Adrian, come up to the trenches. He did well for himself. Kenny, this is my boy. I mean, everybody was so proud of you.
Yes. I came from far.
God is good. They spoke very well of you. It's like, Kenny, that's my boy. Tell him bottoms. I said, okay. but you know, everybody knows, everybody seems to know you. And then I guess with you being a junkanoo, with the Jonkunu, you know, there seems to be a lot of people that know you as well. So I want to just dive right into it. You know, when we put the flyer out, people have a tendency to send questions, and there are many questions that we have. But what inspired you to become an EMS driver, owner, knowing the demands and the trauma that comes with the job? Because we watch a lot of TV, right? We see Law and Order and Chicago Fire and all these things, but you see it in real time. So what inspired you to become an EMS driver / owner, operator? What inspired you?
Well, first of all, I want to correct that by you saying EMS driver. A lot of people look at us and say, oh, they're EMS drivers. Not anymore. The times have changed now where we go and we educate ourselves, just like the nurses and the doctors. We also have a license that we have to set to provide care in this country. And we have three different levels, EMTB, EMT Advanced, and EMT Paramedic. And what really inspired me was when my dad got sick in 97, and the EMTs came to the house. They were very professional, very professional. My dad was a little heavy at that time. So I was looking at them like, hey, oh, Lord, I don't know how they could get him on this stretcher. But listen to me, the way they talked to them and the way they handled them, it was wow. I couldn't believe it, you know. Even though I could see their concern about his size, they didn't show it and they didn't panic. So that's one of the things that led me to want to pursue this field.
Okay, all right. Now, when you think about what has to happen and all of the things that could go on inside of an ambulance, how does that affect you in your regular life?
One thing I don't like is for me to deal with kids. Children is my biggest pet fear. And I don't like to see children hurt. I don't like to see children injured. But when you see me leave from work, that's it. I shut off. But it doesn't always stop there, because you could be driving on the road. In a split second, something could happen. I remember a few years ago, I was just driving, going on my way, and this lady ran into the back of this truck. I wasn't even thinking. I just jumped out of my car, and I just rushed right to her aid. So, but I try to leave work at work, and I come on, because the environment could be very stressful, especially when you have people depending on you. And they know their family member now, and they depend on you to work a miracle. But in all that, just remain calm. But like I say, I leave work at work.
So it doesn't overplay in your psyche that much then?
No. I remember the first time I got into this field, I used to volunteer. And I had a good friend, good instructor, by the name of Dion Nichols. And we ran to this call. And when I opened the door, I saw the lady laying there on the floor. And he was like, come on. I said, oh, no, man. We don't get people. So he said, no. You still have to come in. You have to do your assessment. And kid you not, that call right there lasted me all my life. When I first saw that, I had sleepless nights. Even when I first started working on ambulance, I used to go to bed and some, you know, listening to, waking up with sirens in my head. But that's all. I got used to it.
So it becomes like second nature to you then?
Yes. This is like me putting on a socks.
So Adrian, tell me something. In speaking to Ms. Roll, she says that this is your week, or is this your month? What exactly do you have planned? Like, are there other EMS personnel? Like, what are you guys up on the scale?
This week, we celebrate EMS week, the 18th of May to the 24th. We started off with a sounding off the air horns and the sirens at 8 o'clock that Sunday morning on the 18th. We attended Living Waters Church. I must give kudos to the pastor from Living Waters Church. He listened to me. His message was very good, but he didn't preach. Keno, I don't know if you know Reverend Keno.
Keno Monga. Keno Monga from Revelation Church preached on Sunday.
And his message was really good. So after that, Monday we did a talk show host. I mean, we went on a show. Tuesday is our education day. Today we went at AF Adley, where we get to educate the children on what we do and also when you call 911 and some of the questions that the dispatchers are going to be asking you so that you could help us and so that you could also help your relatives when they're down. Tomorrow is our CPR demonstration. CPR demonstration is going to be held at Russian Square tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So we're looking for everybody to come now, come take part of it, come learn something about CPR and a little bit of what we do on that day. Parade, we're going to have a little mini flow parade. So we get to relax a little bit from all that stressful environment. So flow parade, and after that, we're going to have a little grill and chill where everybody, where the different agencies. So what we did this year, we actually got all the agencies involved, Superior Care, Doctors Hospital, Oak Tree, Bahamas Evac, the Red Cross. We got everybody under one umbrella so we could celebrate this EMS week. The EMS week team is We Care for Everybody. And Saturday is our grand finale. Saturday is we're going to have an award at the Paul Farquharson State Auditorium at the police headquarters. It starts at 6 o'clock. So everybody get to put on their two-piece and come to see the award and try to get a reward for that night.
So you're putting on all your clothes that night. Cover on all your face, all your regalia. Come get nice and everybody looking good.
Yes.
All right. This is a text that came in for you. Brother, I don't know how it is that you in an ambulance and separate your life from real life. I had an opportunity to witness my father die right in front of my eyes, and that haunts me to this day. My dad has been gone. My dad has been slashed dead for 6 weeks. And every time I close my eyes, I think I'm reliving the exact same experience. To see that every single day, you must have the faith of Job. Congratulations to you. Wow. Okay. No problem. This is another comment. How does an EMS personnel say that it's okay and that they are all right at the end of the day? Sir, you are beyond strong. This next text reads, there's no way in the world that I could be an EMS worker, EMS driver, EMS anything and be okay. The things that you must have seen, the things that you probably see on a daily basis, the emergencies, the lives, the blood alone would freak me out, dude. You are strong. Okay, is there a lot of blood, Adrian?
So the young gentleman, have my deepest sympathy because I know how it is to lose a father. And listen to me, this job could get very stressful at times. This job could get very dangerous at times. And, you know, I always ask people to pray for us, to pray for us that we make it back home to our family members, because going on there, it could get a little risky this day and time. And with this field, if you don't have a offload, where you could offload your stress, you know, I like fishing, I like sports, so that's where I channel my energy. So when I leave this job, you know, even if I got to pick up the basketball and just play ball for a few minutes, especially if I did have a rough day, that's my go-to.
Okay, so this is another question for you. What's the one call or rescue that stuck with you? Over mentioned that already. How does the EMS team coordinate with hospitals and other first responders during major emergencies? Like, are you on the disaster team for hurricanes and like during COVID time, what was your schedule like? Were you around the clock?
Well, each agency worked closely with all the hospitals. And when, like, COVID time, each agency get to work together so that we could provide care and get the sick and injured to the hospital. I am a part of not the National Disaster Plan, but I'm part of the Bahamas Search and Rescue Team for basic structural rescue for building collapse. I'll be one of the persons that they do call. But we work very very close together and hand in hand. And especially if we do, you know, have an MCI where all the agencies have to come out and work together as one. I don't know if you noticed that when you...
Adrian, hold on, Adrian. You using some acronyms, and I don't know what is the MCI? Because I think it's MCI.
My apology. Mass casualty incident.
You got to break this down. Come on, Adrian.
My apologies.
So if you have an MCI, all right.
An MCI where it involved more than four persons at a scene, so we activate the MCI protocol. So in the MCI protocol, we call the different agencies to help us out. So it'll be doctors, it'll be superior care, it'll be Oaktree, it'll be Bahamas EVAC. So we could handle that MCI with care.
So when you say MCI, so when they had the fire the other day that was downtown, and the persons that were still inside of the building and all of that stuff, like, could you go to, like, burning buildings, or you have to wait until you're called to go to a burning building?
Well, the system is that we do be on standby in case of, but in our country, if we see a fire truck, especially that fire up that big, we're going to have a unit right there on standby in case if anybody do need to be evacuated or go to the hospital.
So, Adrian, are you ever off?
I love my job. I don't think I have a day off. Even when I'm off, I always try to study. I just came back from Texas about 7 months ago. I was doing my advanced course, my EMS advanced course, and it was, I loved it. I loved to get to, because I did my EMT basic in Miami with Miami Fire and Rescue, but my advance was a little bit more, so I got to see a little bit more of everything. Work in the hospital, do my ride time with EMR. So being off, I don't feel like no EMS personnel is be off. Just like the police, just like the defense force, 24 hours, I think we go around the clock.
Do you have a life outside of EMS, or EMS is really your life? And is that how you have your wife in the business? You clearly can't leave burning in the building to go to your wife, so you have to bring your wife with you. That's where the wife come in, right?
Yes, mom. But yes, I do have a life outside of EMS. Like I tell you, I like sports. I like to travel. You know, and these are my stress relievers.
Okay, so I want to find out from Miss Roll. Miss Roll, what role do you play? Oh, look, listen to the pun on words. Miss Roll, what role do you play? So do they call you? Like, what happens, like, when y'all get a call? Is it like breaker 19? We have, like, what happens? Like, walk me through it. I like the excitement, because, you know, I watch it in plenty Chicago PD. So I see that, and I think that's real life. But tell me what happens when, like, walk me through it.
Well, I am the person that normally receives all the calls, the emergency calls, the calls for requests for anything in terms of transport events, et cetera. So I am the person that deals with the clients and try to ensure that their needs are satisfied in terms of also after the calls, following up to see if they were pleased with the service that was provided, if they have any issues, of course, because we're always trying to advance and we're always trying to be better at what we do. And we have a standard of operation for our staff as well. But what it is normally, like I'll give you an example today. I got a call today and person was like, good afternoon. I would like to know, I need to have my relative transported for a procedure at a medical facility tomorrow. So I would like to know if you can assist with that. Now, with that being said, I would then now have to check the scheduling to see if that can be accommodated. Or if not, I would then refer another provider. A lot of our calls, I would say, are normally not emergency, but I would say things that have already been scheduled. They are pre-scheduled. So we would have like air ambulance runs, whereby we have like flights that come in. If you have, I don't know if you know, persons will go in hospital, the physicians here sometimes cannot, I guess, adequately provide whatever care it may be based on how severe the situation is. So they would refer you to go abroad to seek further attention, et cetera. And with that being said, a lot of those persons, they cannot really go on a commercial airline because they are sometimes unconscious or they're very weak. They need to be transported in a medical airline, something that has the oxygen and everything, where they have the nurses or they have EMTs, paramedics online. So we cater a lot to that area as well. No, so they would call us to say we are coming to go to doctor's hospital to pick up a patient back, or they had kidney failure, but they need to get airlifted out. So we would conduct that transport. And also persons, cancer patients, kidney patients going for dialysis, all of those things, but they're pre-scheduled. So they would call, ask me, I set it up for them, and then we go from there.
Now, I know, Anita, there was a time when I had to be airlifted out of New Providence and I was taken to Regional Memorial. I was pregnant with triplets at the time and I was septic. And the triplets died, of course, but, you know, I'm still here with everybody. But the care that I got in the ambulance, the care that I got on the private flight, it was phenomenal. I must say hats off to EMS personnel, because you're the very first encounter when it comes up to, like, medical care. And I must say that you guys do a good job. There's another EMS technician that I know, too, Kenny. If she's listening, hi, hello. Yeah. She was on my show. She was on my show before. And then Joe, her kids are my kids. So shout out to everybody. Now, when it comes up to, hold on, I have a text. Kenny asks Miss Roll how she divides her time. The son and the Saxons and the daughter in one family. This is not a Jonkunu conversation. This is not a Jonkunu conversation. But
man, don't make people say it, man.
But Miss Roll, I must say.
Not today.
Miss Roll, I must say.
Miss Roll, I am not today, man. Because this is on my heart, to not the person brought
it up. No. We ain't trying to go there with you. We ain't trying to go there today.
No, because I mean, you have these people up on your snap plenty, but I can let you lie. I can let you lie today, Miss Roll. I can let you go.
I can't take this today.
I would have never remembered that, Anita. I would never remember that.
You didn't get the new news, eh?
Tell me. We're going down.
No.
I can leave that for Ashton to tell you.
Anita, I think you know something. I think we better go to break. Chris, take us to break. Ladies and gents, we are going to be back with Miss Roll, and we're going to be back with Adrian. We're talking about EMS services. These are the people that are your first encounter in the ambulance. They make sure that you are okay. They assess you and they get you to where you need to go, whether it be Oak Tree, whether it be Doctor's Hospital, whether it be the Princess Margaret Hospital. They take care of you. Chris, take us to break. I have to deal with Anita on Amara. Take us to break, Chris.
I reach out my hand to you. I'll have faith. deserves royalty, and we've got the perks and cash back to prove it. With 700 Advantage Plus, you'll get 5% cash back, exclusive event invites, VIP perks, and so much more. Ready to claim your crown? Visit our social media pages for the sign-up link or swing by any 700 Wines & Spirits location to get royally rewarded today. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 18 plus to join. 700 Wines & Spirits remind you to drink responsibly.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Curaçao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Garden Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good evening, ladies and gents. This is another healthy Tuesday. We're having a good, hearty conversation. Miss Roll just gave me the belly. I may have to call EMS because the information that she gave me off video, I can't believe it. I can't believe it, Anita. This is what you all do to us today. Anyhow. For those of us in the Jonkunu world, we can talk about this online in a minute. We can do this later. So now, Anita, I want you to tell me something. As the operator for the calls, I just want you to walk me through this, right? You get a call. Miss, something happened to my child. Is it like a 911 call? Does the 911 call to you or the 911 person calls you?
No. We receive the calls directly. If you actually call, but you know, And yes, you received the 12 directly. If you were to call any MS or Doctor's Hospital or Oak Tree, they are engaged and they're not able to facilitate, they would then refer you to Superior Care. And likewise, we all work hand in hand. And so when I get the call, now sometimes I would have I may get a call from someone at PHA, Doctor's Hospital or EMS. I may get a call from them. That is very rare. They would have the patient or the relatives of the patient give me a call directly. So now if you were to call, it depends now. You have sometimes, I've had this person go having like a stroke, or they think the person is having a stroke. But of course, you would know the symptoms. So the main thing is for you to get them to prioritize staying calm. Okay, because you know when something happens, persons call, everyone is in a furry. Sometimes you have two and three people shouting or talking at the same time. So you have to remain very calm, even in talking to them, to get them to remain calm. Okay, because...
Because I'm saying to you, first-hand experience, you absolutely.
Yes, you have to. The priority is to remain calm initially, because that's the only way I can effectively get... So
I have to say that is so critical, because I remember like when it was my time with mommy, right? Mm-hmm. And we were on the phone, and then I ended up taking the phone. And so my brother completely froze. He's just standing up there with his hand to his mm-hmm. mouth. Like, I'm like, Donovan, you could hear me? And he's just looking, right. Daddy's standing up, everybody looking, but someone had to be calm, you know?
Right.
Someone had to be calm. And you're absolutely right. What role do you think continuing education and training play in the field? Because Adrian mentioned that he had just come back from Texas recently, and that he just did some new training. So how much training is enough training, or is there never enough training? Is it ever evolving?
Never.
It's never enough training. It's ongoing.
Because
development is happening every day, every year. Okay. So you have to continue going to the conferences. You have to continue staying abreast, or you will get left behind. And case in point, when you have those air ambulances, those internationals, you look at the way they operate. You look at even the way they do their run reports. A lot of it, they don't digitize. You understand? So if you are trying to keep abreast and actually remain that relevant, especially on an international level, and that is the level that we're at. We cater a lot to international persons. So when you are at that level, you have to stay abreast and you have to continue. Continuing education is mandatory and it's ongoing. And we actually emphasize that with our staff as well. Not to mention as well, I'm very passionate about, the customer service that is rendered. Because I always say, when you talk about physicians, when you talk about healthcare, when you talk about teachers, you have to be passionate about your job. Yes, we all look for a good salary. Yes, of course, you want to live a good life. You want to be comfortable. But when you go into those fields, you have to have a heart of empathy. You have to really care about people. You have to care about the way they feel. So when you're even engaging with any customer, you have to treat them the way you would want to be treated. You have to be calm. You have to be loving. These things are mandatory. You have to carry yourself in a certain way. You know, the standard in which you carry yourself, make sure you're neatly groomed and make sure your ambulance is clean, because this is your home. Persons are coming to this environment and we want you to be comfortable, and we want our staff to make you feel comfortable.
This is a text coming in, Anita. The text reads, Kenny, coming from somebody that has worked closely with both of these individuals, let me take the moment to say and congratulate them both. This is taking a step aside from the professional realm. These two people that are on your radio are in a relationship, and I want you to know that they exude love for everybody. I'm a former worker, and Anita is a boss lady. I want to tell her thank you for the many days and the many nights that we've had many conversations. It's more than just work for them. They see people as people, and they take care of you. They take care of their staff, and they take care of each other. It's a true saying that it starts at home. Blessings to you. Blessings to you. And I wish you all are able to do even more. It's time for you to expand, because on the Family Islands, you have people that
those kind of words, those words, yeah, words like that. It is really heartwarming, because
you have people that think about you.
Yeah, I thank you so much, whomever the call. I really thank you for your kind words, and
Anita, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, I don't know. I said I want to thank the caller for his or her kind words. I really appreciate it, because oftentimes you don't hear it. But what I can say is, when you are passionate about anything you do, you're not doing it for monetary gain. You're doing it from your heart. So even in terms of dealing with staff, dealing with any individual, you're going to exude that. The care is going to come across, you know, the concern, everything. You're going to generally care for that person. And that is what is needed in the healthcare profession, because persons are going through so much on a regular basis every day, even without being terminally ill or going through any significant situation, just coping. So, and you have these EMTs, they have to go home to their families. You know, a lot of times they have children. They themselves may have issues at home. They may have their parents going through illnesses, and et cetera. So you have to exude care. You have to care about your staff. You have to care about people. Yes. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Each one helps absolutely. One. Each one helps one. Anita, that is absolutely so amazing that you would say that, because a lot of times we just, you know, we focus on one thing and we don't necessarily look at the wider picture. When you decided that you wanted to do this, you know, as the operations person for you, because I would have asked Adrian how it was for him, but how was it for you? Because you are a team.
Yes, yes. I would tell you this. Adrian has been an EMT for numerous years. I myself didn't start in the medical field, but it is now my passion. And I would tell you that I had that shift, I would say, probably about 6-7 years ago, when he initially was just talking, because Adrian used to just do go and work flag for the Bahamas Flag Fallen situation. He did some stuff where he would just go out with his car, pack some supplies in the back trunk, and he would go out there and work events for like the flag football, which he was a part of flag football for a number of years. He would
also rugby.
Go ahead.
Also rugby too.
And rugby. So he used to just go out there and facilitate assisting persons from the medical standpoint. And he just expressed in terms of, you know, boy, what I really think about, you know, what it, you know, I think his whole thing about advancedly render the care that he has that personal affiliation with. And of course, him expressing it and me always being around it and hearing about it. And I was like, you know, this will be a good idea. Now I will tell you, this company is founded on the grace and by the grace of God. Because it's just step by step, just starting to do necessary stuff, necessary, just, and God just put people in place, just put opportunities in place for us to just turn the next table, turn the next page. But I will tell you, I'm a breast cancer survivor. Okay. So I'm 14 years now. So for me, when I heard about the opportunity to really provide persons with a chance at life, you know, a chance, because bear in mind, the emergency medical technicians and the paramedics, they are your they're the first people that actually come to your aid. They normally are the deciding persons in terms of how high your survival rate is going to be. Because they come and collect you from your home and you have passed out on the floor, the care that they render could actually determine whether or not you survive or you don't. So they are very critical. That pre-hospital care, I should say, is very critical. And for me, I just wanted to actually embody that and actually be someone that would implement a new way of doing things in this country, a new way of providing the best pre-hospital care, because I would tell you, our team will tell you, we all about the best. That's why it's superior care. So it's all about we are going to be the best. Yeah, we may be like, you know, you're the last man in. You may not be as big as the corporate entities that are out there, but we're looking to grow. We're looking to move. And I will tell you, continue to watch. Superior Care is going to be doing some awesome things.
But the thing about it is, right, it isn't always the size of the ship, but it's the motion in the ocean.
Exactly. Exactly.
A lot of times, and I will relegate this, not even relegate this, I will highlight and auspicize this to the splendid virtue of Junkanoo, right? A lot of people see the Saxon superstars, right? The brass, where your son is, right? They see that as a very small group. They call it small acts, but they are small and mighty. So Superior Care may just be starting, Anita, right? But listen, you branching out, baby. The text just said, Miss, we need y'all in the fast to start small.
And
and I want us to be mindful of the fact that customer care, quality customer service is truly lacking in the Bahamas. And the fact that you offer it, people come into you. People want customers. I don't mind paying, you know, but let me have the proper service.
And I can tell you, that's what 99% of our customers say. And we have gotten, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised at some of the corporate entities. They come back, repeat. Every time they have an event, they're going to call because they talk about the service. The service. And that is what I always strike. And I emphasize with our staff, service. Service from start to finish.
I am.
That's all about.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Again, before I started this company, I was a little scared. But what I did, anything I do, I put God first. And I asked God, I said, God, please send me people that who could see our vision and who could give the service that, you know, I give on a daily basis and who could really, really just go out there and push. And I must big up Superior Care staff. I must big them up because everyone God send me, listen to me. They see the vision and they have the drive. And as of today, right now, we have people, you know, applying and hey, we want to work full time. But God knows what he's doing and we're going to get there. And we are getting there step by step and day by day. But honestly, like the staff, I wouldn't trade them in for nothing.
It's just like family. I'll tell you that. And you know what is a good feeling? When you have staff who tell you, man, when y'all gonna open up a building, because I'm ready to leave my job and come work for y'all full time. Like, we get that all the time. It speaks tremendously about how the staff feel, even in terms of working for the company. But we try to cultivate.
It speaks volumes. I want to find out something too. When you speak about quality care, do you go through a training process where you train your staff about quality care? Now, Anita, I know you come from a good Catholic school. And Xavier's taught you well. Sister Genevieve Brown made sure you had, listen to me. Do you give them quality assurance testing?
Can I say something on that before she talks?
Yes. Yes.
I wanted to say something about continuing education. And continuing education is so important because nowadays technology changes every day. And when you look at the American Heart Association, They change their program every 2 years. Also with the EMT program, every 2 years you have to recertify for your license. So this is an international recertification. So and you get to get knowledge on the latest equipment. We even do conference. To go to different conference and you can look at the equipment, you know how to use the equipment. But But continuing is very important for us. And even when it comes to providing service, a few months ago, Ms. Roll put on, the staff got to do a program along with Jenny Dean, Karen, and Sharon. And they teach you a lot about customer service.
That's a good one.
Yes, sir. Yes.
She actually does a lot of training programs as well.
So, yeah,
Donnie is excellent at that. She's fantastic.
Correct.
But like I was saying, we know what we want. It's like not like when you know what you want. If you go to a store and you say, "Listen to me, I want to see strawberry ice cream." If they have butter can ice cream, no, I want so. It's not like what you want. And with us, that's what we want. And that's why we strive for perfection. You know, we go there and the staff, listen to me. I can leave this island for 2 or 3 days and I have confidence in the staff. We have confidence in the staff because they know what we require, how to do the job and do the job well done.
They are really deserving of this week. They are really deserving, and you know, you have to really hats off to the EMS staff because trust and believe they go above and beyond. You got to sometimes call them, wee hours of the night to do this thing. They work in double shifts. Sometimes these people have children. They got to be gone 24 hours. Don't let you have some client that may want you to be. We have jobs at Bahama and we have to be there for a week. 24 hours until you working around the clock. You come in from Sunday and you don't leave till next Sunday. You know, delegations coming in. These people, they have children, so they really sacrifice a lot. You know,
So Anita, when is your time? When is your time your own?
Well, I would tell you this: when you do what you love, it really doesn't feel like work. But it is important. I would tell you. It is important to also strike a balance. So for me, I know like of late now in this field, you're never really off. I'll be honest with you because someone always needs assistance.
Absolutely.
But I do have times like when you see Sunday for me is a time that I now try to unwind. I try to attend church. I try to decompress. I try to, you know, rechannel, re-energize. I try. And then I also take opportunities of any event coming up, anything that could actually feed my spirit, give me upliftment, something to motivate and energize, I try to connect with things like that as much as possible. But you just have to be intentional. But at the end of the day, when you come into this profession, you know it is sacrifice, self-sacrifice. That's just what it is. So it's not everyone ain't cut for this. And I think where the misplacement comes, you may have persons who in the field, if you come into this field for money or you come to this field looking for this, then of course you're gonna have an issue when you have to go above and beyond. But if you are passionate about what you do, it really don't feel like work. You just want you want it to be done correctly. You want to provide the best possible service. When a client call you, a customer call you, when a patient call you, you want to make sure you want that person to survive. So whatever you have to do, you prepared to do.
This text reads,
you know, it becomes a part of you.
This text reads, Adrian is good to see. It's good to see a N-I da 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 from the block. My brother, you have a strong woman on your side. Respect to what it is that you're doing. I couldn't possibly look at blood all day, but I respect it. I respect the game. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to you. Good night. This is another text. Good night. Are there any plans for Oak Tree to offer to share a building, a full-scale hospital? I think privately we can do this to offer better health care. This is another text. Good day, Kenny, and thanks for bringing these emergency medical service lovers of people to light today. These respected men and women carry the weight of this country on their shoulders daily. From a grateful family from Cat Island, and all of we is one, I say thank you. I say thank you, God. I say thank you, God, for all they continue to do. That is a text coming in for you guys. This next text reads, Adrian, but you're on the radio. Take your time. Respect still. Adrian, these people don't know you're on the radio, eh?
Listen to me. I thank God so much. God has brought me from such a long way. Like, only listen to me. Let me tell you something. I give God thanks and praise because what he's doing in my life and, you know, and the things that he's about to do. When I first started this field, it was with Merva and Dr. McCartney. Hats off to him, Ms. Mills, Shandy, the training staff. They was hard. And you know, some I remember this gentleman by the name of Derek Ferguson. If shift starts 8 o'clock, and when you come, if you reach there 6:30, you clean the ambulance and you check the ambulance, and he knock off from the defense force base and come there, that ambulance could be spick and span, and you could see a face on the floor. He will tell you, now it's our time to do it, and we do it together. And boy, if you only know how much times I was drawing him in my head. But guess what? I appreciated that now. I appreciate that now because that made me the person that I am now. And I take that to work with me.
So, Adrian, you stand on the shoulders of someone else. Someone had to show you, and they work with you. So it worked itself out.
Yes, it did. And I wear two hats. I work with EMS and EMS full-time. That's my full-time job. I work with the government full-time. And Superior Care, it's a company that we birthed. But when I say, I want to give shout out to my colleagues at EMS also because, you know, these guys out there, 24 hours, you know, doing what they could do. I don't know if y'all noticed now that we are actually wearing bulletproof vests now.
I noticed that, but I also noticed something too. And I noticed it recently. I looked at your shoes. Y'all wear steel-toe shoes. Why y'all wearing steel-toe shoes, Adrian?
You need to wear steel-toe shoes because the rough terrain, places where we be going now, you know, and you got to protect your ankle.
I have a question, but this is my own personal question. When you jack up the bed, because there was one EMS that I saw recently, and she couldn't be no more than 2 pounds. But when she jacked that bed up and she put, I said, hold on, friend, how y'all is jack up? I know this is really, but how y'all is jack up the bed? How does the bed get up?
All right, so we have two type of bed. We have a bed electronically, press the button, it comes up, and we also go, and that could go manual. And also manually, we use a lever. Once we lift a red lever and we release the red lever, and the bed stays up. But listen to me. Back again at education. Technology has changed. The whole EMS system is going to be changed because right now, in order for you to even get an EMS system now, you know how the police and the defense force, you know, they have their workout program?
Yes.
That's a part of the program because you need to be physically fit to be a part of this because you know what it's to be going up a stairs and you got to take a patient downstairs in a stair chair and you don't want to be collapsing. You don't be feeling short of breath. So you have to be physically fit now to be a part of this EMS system because we're absolutely running calls like 24/7 and the call volume, you know, it increases both sides of it.
Well, I look at the fact that you guys are in high demand. I mean, that's a bad thing to say, but it's a good thing to say as well. You know, as long as you live, there will be casualties and there will always be need for EMS. I look at the fact that you take such good care, but if there was one thing that you want to say to all EMS workers, if there's one thing that you wanted to say to lift their spirits, what would that one thing be? Adrian?
Thank you. Thank you. Please don't give up. Keep pushing because the public needs you. You know, that person who relative is laying on the ground, who's a diabetic or hypertension, And the family feel like there's no hope, and you walk through that door, it's like you're an angel.
Yeah, and you exactly
provide care for that person, and to see that person, man, listen to me, let me give you a little example. The other day, walking to this house, and this lady was down, the family had already started praying. They had already started praying, but not knowing that the lady's sugar level was low. And thank God for the skills that he has blessed me with, educate me with, and me using the skills. When they see that lady rise up, that was it. They start speaking in all kind of tongues, and I was like, "Oh, wow. This is you. And that right there, any amount of money in this world could pay me for that feeling. I would never give up that feeling right there.
This person has texted me, say phone buzzing, but it says, tell Adrian, respect Daddy O. I don't know. My call is, my text is today, y'all out of control. Y'all out of control today. I mean, Adrian,
hey.
You was a celebrity.
I come from far. I come from far. Hey, if I start preaching on this show right now, you know, I know what it is to be out there. But trust me, God, nobody was doing when he brought. You know, I was a firefighter for 10 years. And wow. I love the job too. But when I start volunteering my service, I say, boy, this is me right here. I ain't going nowhere. This is me right here. And yes. I fall in love with this job. And that's why this week is so special to me and so special to Superior Care and my colleagues and all the EMTs around the world.
Before we go, I want you to run through exactly what else is happening. Let's make this very, very special announcement. This is about Hadassah Camp. The event is called World Imperial Beauties Bahamas. Now, this young lady is an ambassador throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And Hadassah should be representing the Bahamas in an international pageant July 23rd to July 27th in Orlando, Florida. Her mom is seeking some sort of assistance for her. She is Little Miss Galaxy 2023, where she became the first runner-up for the international pageant, and she won awards such as Miss Congeniality and Miss Photogenic. They're looking for sponsors. Her mom, Miss Kemp, is looking for any type of sponsorship. You can feel free to contact her at this number here, 468-0101. Hadassah's Helping Hands is where she gives back to the community, and she helps those in need by hosting annual clothing for the Christmas time for children throughout various communities. Again, if you can help Little Hadassah Kemp, and I think she attends Temple Christian Elementary with a GPA of 3.63. It's very hard to maintain these kids' averages these days. But Hadassah has attained and maintained a 3.63 grade average. If you can help Hadassah achieve her goal of entering this competition, please call her mother, Miss Kemp, at 468-0101. But before we leave this evening, Adrian, please tell us what else is happening with EMS for the remainder of this week, as this is EMS week. And thank you to you EMS workers. Thank you to everybody that's in there that works tirelessly to make sure that we are getting to the destinations we are when we are infirmed. Adrian, walk us through what else is happening, please.
So tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we'll be at the old folks home. We'll be feeding and also cutting hair, spending a little bit of time with them, helping them wherever they need to be helped. At 10:30, we'll be at Rawson Square, where we'll be putting on a CPR demonstration. So everyone could come along and learn how to do CPR, because CPR is very important nowadays, because you don't know who you could save or who you could help by recognizing, you know, if they do go wrong. Also, Friday will be our float parade, and also our grill and chill, where we get to hang out with the colleagues, just relax for that day. And Saturday is going to be the big day everybody's looking for, the awards night that starts at 6 o'clock at the Paul Farquharson building in the police headquarters yard.
All right. Anita, do you have any last words for us, please? Anita?
Hi, I'm still here.
Do you have any last words for us?
To come out to the CPR demonstration, you know, come out, show some love to the EMTs. Even if you see them in passing, give them an encouraging word. They really need it. And I encourage all of them to continue to remain passionate about what they do, continue to press onward by the grace of God, and continue to be the unsung heroes. I call them the heroes the heroes in uniform, because
we have a question. Don't hang up, Anita. Wait a minute. We have another question. Let me just get this in. The question is asked: Do you offer services if we are having a sports day for Catholic or Anglican schools? Do you come to events just in case there is an emergency so that we don't have to call? Are you an on-premise site as well? This is a question that is coming.
Yes, ma'am. That is in high demand. Superior Care, actually, I think we do most of the events, I would say, now in the country. So all of the Hugh Campbell, all of the sporting events we basically cover. So you can reach out to me.
Can you give us the number?
810-1809. Okay.
Give it again. Give the telephone number again, please. Are you on Facebook? Are you on social media?
Yes, we are. Superior Care. You can Facebook and Instagram and TikTok.
Give the number once again, please.
810-1809.
Okay. All right, Anita and Adrian. Look at that. A and A. I like that. I like that. I like that. I hope so. I hope so. Weddings, you know, just let me know. I hope so. Anyway, anniversary renewals, I ready. Just let me know. Ladies and gents, this has been another wonderful Tuesday evening. For those of you within the sound of my voice, grab someone very special. The EMS services are here for us. They are loving on us. They're making sure that we get the proper care that we need. I want you to make sure that you enjoy your life. We've only got one time to pass through here. And while we're passing through, be kind to somebody. Now get yourself some popcorn tonight and get you a bottle of wine and have yourselves a good time. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Kenny's Corner, Guardian Ready 6.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
But when I look into your eye, man, you're worth that sacrifice. Yeah. If this is the kind of love that my mom used to warn me about, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in real big trouble. If this is the kind of love that the old folks used to warn me about, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in real big trouble. I need y'all to do me a favor. Someone please call 911.
Pick up the phone, y'all.
Tell them I just been shot down. And the bullets in my heart.